All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
A choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a ride.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound. Very.
Expanding reality.
They make it just so hard for people to understand and really try to get into it and make it positive. So I'm really proud of you for that.
Thank you. I feel this is beating the soul trap. Do you want to go ahead and get started?
Sure.
Nigel Perryman, welcome to the show. This is awesome. Welcome. This is how we're going to do it. This is great.
Okay.
You and I just start talking. We get into this damn thing. And welcome, dude. We've just been speaking about this movement of sovereignty that I find myself in. And I am empowered and elated by this thing. I've been crossing these things off the list. I've really got a great understanding with it now that I've met with Joe and Bree. That's all I'm going to say about it. Trust the link down below if you guys want to join us. But Nigel Perryman, welcome to this thing that we call Expanding Reality, dude. It is so cool to have you. Your brother, you know, you've been on, you actually joined us for an insider hangout number 17 back in April, if you remember. We had a blast with that. So if you guys want to gain access to that conversation, as well as join us live for those in the future and check out the banger expansive afterthought that you and I are going to have in conjunction with this episode right here. Check the link below, guys, as well as all the ways to find our dear friend Nigel right here, the Mind's Eye website, as well as his Instagram and all of his stuff. Your amazing book. We've got so much to cover here, dude. So many cool things. Link down below, guys. So, Nigel, how are you, brother? And just want to let the folks know a little bit more about yourself, man.
Thanks, Brandon. It's always fun and fascinating to be on with you. Love your energy, man. Love your energy. You keep me pumped, brother.
To be fair, we were just chatting, and all of a sudden I was like, hey, we're doing the show now.
Let's go. We're running.
So well done. Way to roll.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I am always excited to be on with you. You know, your knowledge and just the energy and things that you bring to the table make the world for me. I know that we're going to be doing a little bit of talking today about this little guy right here, Pathway to the Infinite. This is my new book coming out November 7th, 2024. You know, we'll be able to find it everywhere. You know what I mean? And just getting into the realm of weirdness. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, what people have a problem with is sometimes your truth can just be so weird, you know?
Dude, the truth is way stranger than anything that people have been presenting as fiction here. Even the fiction looks like a framework to kind of soft disclose the actual crazy shit that's going on, man. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's very popular. You know, they have gotten away from it. You know, some of my favorites are Jake DeLong. A lot of people don't know that Jake DeLong from, what is that, Blink 187?
Tom DeLong?
Tom DeLong. That's what
Tom
it is.
DeLong. Yeah. Did he do the Academy of the
Secret
Stars
Machines? Song? Yeah. Okay. But he wrote a book called The Secret Machines that a lot of people don't know about. And he followed the same protocol that Dan Brown wrote in. So the idea now is to say the truth in a fictional story. And at that point, you can't be, you know, they can't come back on you. They won't shut you down, all this kind of crazy stuff that goes on. But Jake DeLong wrote a really, really good book explaining newer things, moving from the kind of the Dan Brown trilogies of Angels and Demons and Da Vinci Code and those things like that, and really brought in the aspect of what the other side or the higher form life forms how they operate, the things that we have captured from them and are starting to utilize in our day-to-day lives. So these things, this, you know, all of these topics, it's going to become prevalent in the next 5 years, man. Everyone's going to know about this stuff. It won't be hidden anymore, because, you know, we've kind of messed up the atmosphere to the point where too much sound, too much information, and all those things are being carried, you know, through our bodies and through our brains and stuff like that. And there are people on the planet who have very, very sensitive minds, or pineal glands, if you want to call it, who can pick apart that information that is passing through them. So some people have these experiences. Some people have hallucinations. Some people are terrified because they're not aware that, yeah, there is something that exists on the other side of the spectrum here, you know?
Because it's been so dulled down, and it's fascinating when you get to the vision. Like, I guess the way that you and I see the world is because we see it all in symbolism. You see it all around you. It's fascinating, especially when you see the large hidden things that have just sort of had a banner propped up in front of them to just sort of hide the fact, you know, we founded this in not 809, Ionon, 1801. Yeah, there you go. It's interesting, sort of these masks that are thrown on top, but you can see this stuff, and it is all in symbolism, and it's all over the place. And the ancients left this for us to find, which is something you were fascinating, the way that you look at that and how you connect it to us. And you've got a lot of higher things going on that we are going to speak about here. But again, the way that it's presented here, I see is, yes, both a revealing and a controlling attempt to control in the same way. Now,
yes.
But they're both telling, right? Because the revealing is the revealing to go deeper. Yeah. The attempt to control is telling in a way that there is something for you to pay attention to. That Gauthier quote that freedom is an active sport, right? So you've got to, you know, be on your shit, right?
Right. Right. And typically, you know, with preparation is how you accomplish something. So if you don't have any, let's say, knowledge about science, you don't have any knowledge about radio frequencies, or even just the whole genre of like esoteric information, you know, frequencies, vibrational knowledge, and all these kind of things people are talking. If you are oblivious to that and just kind of, you know, running your program after schooling, and, you know, your life is now transformed into whatever it's transformed into, and you're running on this operation, and people outside of you are telling you about this kind of stuff, you're oblivious to it. It makes no sense, and it's very hard for people who have their lives in a good position to say, okay, well, why would I want to use this? You know what I mean? Why would I want to try this avenue when this has been working so well for me? And I like what you said on the, as part of the revealing, because on one end, if they're telling you, don't do this, or you see people getting banned off the internet, their stuff's getting taken down. You know, there's a major push for the new CIA records into the realm of transdimensional communications and celestial contact, things of that nature. I think they call that the Northern Lights Project. And then we have, on the other end, we have people like myself who have an experience that transformed the way that I think interiorly and has brought about all this new change, and then showed me where it came from. So like what I'm most fascinated about is the lineage. And that's what I think will be the best proof for anyone to say, okay, there truly is something here that goes along with this. There truly is a scientific aspect that goes along with this. So if I'm not combining the two sources, I'm not going to be the full person. And so some people live on one side or the other side. Some people are so technology driven, they can't even think straight. I watched a post yesterday, and this lady is like playing Candy Crush while driving down the street. Her hands are in between the steering wheel, literally on the highway. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, but technology has enthralled our minds to such a tremendous degree that some people can't survive without it. On the other hand, on the flip side to that, you still have a massive, massive religious and or spiritual side of this equation. And they are against all things technology, such as, you know, utilizing argon accelerators to remove harmful EMF frequencies and radio frequencies of that nature. So there are people on the spiritual side who really want to make the higher connection, and they're fighting against the technology side. So it's kind of a pit. You see what I mean? But what I found, and what I would really like to share with people, something that's super fascinating, is that this stuff derives directly from the Atlanteans of old age. It transpired all the way to Rome, which is, Rome is kind of where I lose a little bit of my signal. You know, I lose the signal when I get to Rome. The Greeks followed it in very well. It was obviously passed over to the Romans. And then this is when things kind of get all jumbled up and twisted. So at that juncture is where we lost the technology side of it all. We didn't pick the technology side of it all back up until 1990, to be quite honest, as far as out into the general public, what we're doing kind of thing. And so the psychology of what has been taught to everyone on one end versus the other end, that's what we're really fighting, Brandon. That's the hardest part about this whole objective.
It's the mental metaphysics ninja, you know?
Yeah.
That's what this is. Yeah. So how much of this external influence is really dictated by how much work you do inside? Because what I mean, and put another way, is that there's a lot of stuff going on out here. Are you to pay attention to this and do inside stuff? Are you to ignore and do only inside stuff? Or are you to balance the two, similar to what you said earlier about needing to walk in both worlds a little bit?
Right. And so early on, I found that they, ancient civilizations, they knew that the modern world and the world in the future were going to have a problem trying to discern between the external material world versus their internal. I don't necessarily want to call it like astral projecting or astral world or anything like that. Truthfully, for me, it is another dimension. It's a separate dimension from where we are. When you utilize your imagination and you stop playing in the roles that everyone else has talked about and everyone else has taught, then you start opening up different channels of communication within your own mind. That's how the seed comes in. When the seed comes in and you capture that and you're like, okay, this might actually work out for me. At that point, you've captured an intangible and you are now about to attempt at whatever, you know, strength that you have, you're going to attempt to bring this intangible into reality. Science and technology's real function is really designed to, it's supposed to be designed to make life easier. Flat out. They created pain pills, make life easier. You don't want people going into pain. They created surgeries, make life easier. We want people to live longer. They created cell phones, make life easier. We can communicate and find information at a snap. They created transportation systems, make life easier. You know, all of these things is designed to make life easier. But the problem with making life easier is that we become complacent and we become dependent upon that easiness. So there was a time 25 years ago, or actually 30 years ago now, because I think we're kind of roughly into that 35, 40 year age of technology really being on the planet to the degree that it is. Because I believe it was like 34 years or 35 years ago that Mike Tyson's Punch Out actually came out. So that's Nintendo. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's really when things kind of changed for us. Yeah.
Man, remember that game? So, okay, go ahead.
I know, it's crazy to think about it like that, right?
Yeah.
But since that time, before then, we had these humongous books in gas stations. They were like these massive books. It looked like something like, you know, a dinosaur would read, for crying out loud. And they were maps to show you how to get from one place to the other. Communication wasn't the way that it was. You had to pull over somewhere, risk your life going to a payphone. If you didn't have the change, you wait for this thing to connect, and then people would pick up on the other end. We memorized numbers. We memorized street names. Never had to ask anyone for that.
No.
And it's so sad because I use my cell phone. I GPS everything, right? So, and I know where I'm going. It's not like, you know, Colorado, we've got I-25, brother. It goes north, south. You can get where you want to go. But for whatever reason, I still GPS it. And at some point, we become more dependent on that and less dependent on the imaginative faculty, which is the seed of everything that can be created. It is the infinite knowledge that can be placed upon the earth in two forms, either a positive form or a negative form. And we are, our main objective in life is really to just discern what's positive and what's negative. Not for anyone else, but for ourselves. But with domestication and time and everything else, you get used to it. You get used to giving your friends advice. You get used to telling everybody else advice. You get used to, you know, following other instructions and things of that nature. And then there's this conflict. And then we introduce technology. We introduce social media. We introduce all these things. And now we have kids running around saying, you know, they want to commit suicide because someone on the internet told them that they were ugly. That shows that we have a degeneration in the strength of our minds and the strength of our capabilities. So in truth, we should work interiorly first. The interior objective is what gives you the exterior objective. And what I mean by that, there's a, I want to say it's Dr. Stephen Greer, who he'll probably agree with me on this. We both share the same thing in that everything external, all material things, is a form or a derivative of how your brain operates. And all man has done was pay so much attention to the interior world that he was able to replicate it in the external world. And then someone else comes along and they're fascinated by it, creates a product, creates a service, it creates a look, it creates a character, it creates a play. So in ancient times, that's how they communicated. There wasn't technology to do it. They spoke it. They used plays to do it. Then they realized that man would be completely entranced by these plays and stuff. And they're like, okay, let's capitalize on this. You see what I mean? And after that, oh yeah, see whatever happens. And then it continued to grow, And as we learn new techniques and things of that nature from ancient times to present, all of those things that transpire, we become fascinated by later on. So one thing I like to, oh, go ahead.
I just said, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I like to talk about a lot to help you understand that transition of how something internally from the mind represents something external. And this is a really good one. Movies, television, okay? A movie and a television is an actual idea or an elongated thought of someone else's mind. We call them a writer now, right? They're writers, so they write out this whole story. Well, what they're doing is they're imagining the whole story. They see the whole story. They see all the characters and everything else. And then what they do is they place this out into the external world. I want you to dress like this and this character, and I want you to dress like this and this character, and I want you guys to play this out a little bit here and there. And then they put it out in front of you. That was ancient, you know, that was plays, now moved on to modern day movies and television. What makes it even better is that the commercials inside of those movies and the commercials that we see on television is the representation of our natural thinking habits. So as I'm walking along throughout the day, I get this flash of a thought that goes on and I'm like, oh shoot, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Or the thought is so powerful, it makes you do another activity, right? So when you're watching a TV movie promo or a television promo or something like that, and they give you the big flash and the bang and the guys are flying off cliffs and all this stuff, you are so intrigued by just the flash part of the promo that you physically save all the money to go watch it and you physically spend the time to go see it. It is mentally put into your mind. And so all of we are doing is the things that we see on the interior, we are trying to replicate on the exterior. And so all of that's every invention. That's the book. That's, you know, mouse pads and mugs, you know. There's Jeez, mugs man. Are everywhere.
Yeah.
Cheers. You know, they're everywhere. But someone still said, you know, mine might be better. Mine might be different. And so with this cauldron of thoughts from one person to the next, you have an infinite possibility of directions that you can go. An infinite possibility that a civilization can go. And that is what, you know, people tie the creator to. That's what people tie God to. That's what people tie infinite intelligence to. And that's really what that representation is. And all the people on the planet, we're never going to have the exact same thought all the way through. So there's a possibility in there for someone. And there's another possibility in there for someone else.
You know, and with this subjective reality, do you feel that there is sort of a 51%, as it were, that's really needed for this place to be completely different? Or do you think that a few individuals could affect on a much larger scale? I heard or saw one thing on the interwebs about a guy was talking about one awake person is equivalent to like something like 750,000 sort of Borgs of the machine. So do you feel that there's going to be this massive overtaking of this? Because what some of us can feel like, and it's been expressed to me, that it feels like an overwhelming task. When you look around, you see the 85% of the people who seem to just not see, quoting Da Vinci there, then it can feel unsurmounting, but that itself could also be just some presupposed illusion, right? The awake may make much larger of an impact than you feel is necessary per individual basis. Does that make sense?
Right. It does. And I believe that one person can create the multitude. That's factual. If not, then we would not have Facebook. We would not have Twitter. We would not have anything McDonald's for instance. And it's that one guy, that one thought, that one drive, and now look at McDonald's. And he's gone. He's gone. Half of his family from that time is gone. But McDonald's is still here thriving. So that one thought was so impactful, so helpful, and so, you know, productive to people's lives, it's still here. Now, as far as when you look at that and you say, okay, now how does that relate to, you know, the matrix or this kind of coded system that we're in? 85% of the people don't care. That 85% don't care because the 85% are not affected. And they are already living in that comfortable status. And it's so true when you think about it and you look at like a biblical term. And I've grabbed this stuff all the way from the Emerald Tablets straight into, you know, the new NEV Bibles. So all of this stuff is there. It is transcribed. And it's true when you look at that 85% and then you hear the term or just the phrase, you know, a rich man, you know, is going to struggle getting into heaven. You know what I mean? He won't be able to. It's like putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. You see what I mean? And that represents your 85%. There was another one in a Gnostic saying, which is from the Book of Thomas. I don't know if you like into the Gnostic Gospels or anything like that. Book of Thomas was broken down after it was found in Nag Hammadi, broken down, and then some of it was placed into the new Bibles that we have now. And there's an instance in there where he's asked, or I should say the disciples asked Jesus, you know, what should we do, you know, to get where you are? How is it that we can, you know, get this insightfulness, or how is it that we can enter the kingdom? You know, you're walking here with us right now and you're in the kingdom. So like, how do we get to this point? And it really boiled down to how they thought, how they reacted to the world around them. And were they strong enough to separate themselves from what they call the patterns of the world, societal patterns? You know, so if you can separate yourself from those patterns, the same thing, the Buddha taught it. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. It's everywhere. So this lineage or mental metaphysical lineage is from the very beginning. And the problem with that is a rich man won't have time. A rich man has property and things to do. He doesn't want to listen to you. A rich person is not going to worry about anything that is beneath what they have already had their mind trained on. So if I came to a rich person and I say, well, you know, I have this celestial connection and, you know, there's so many things that we could do differently. There's so many things that we could do differently. Do you think they would give me any play? Probably not. Their lives are already going. Now, if I grab someone who is grassroots, starting from the bottom or midway, but still, they're on the up climb. They got drive. They have determination. They have a different type of mindset. And if I approached that person and gave them the same spiel, they would be more willing to work with it. Someone who is settled already don't want to lose their assets. They don't want to lose what they've gained. They've made it this far with what they know. So it's very hard for you to bring in new information that the world is not following the pattern to. So for people like myself there was something, a title that I think I sent over to you that I wanted to get into, is the difference between connected consciousness and higher consciousness. Okay. The difference between higher consciousness are those people who are wealthy. They got a higher consciousness. Look at their lives. Some of them could have got it through, they could have got it through hand-me-downs, but some of those people really worked hard. You know, they came up with great ideas and they started from the bottom. You know, so they're at some part of their being has a higher They have a higher consciousness. And what that really means is that they just chose not to go with everyone else. They chose to dig into themselves. They chose to keep their heads down and focus on what they needed to focus on. And in turn, it created all these wonderful things. And people just call that, oh, a higher consciousness. And so there's books about higher consciousness. I get it. Connected consciousness is different. Connected consciousness runs you into the Bashars of the worlds, the Dolores Cannons of the worlds, the Manly P. Halls of the worlds. I can't believe I forgot his name. We'll move on from that. But, you know, those type of people. Now we're talking about someone who has a celestial connection who is giving you information dead on. I know Bashar just did gathering in Colorado, as a matter of fact. And a lot of people attended that. And you're looking at someone who has a connected consciousness who's giving you information, not a higher consciousness, because we know higher consciousness, we could do anything. I could just be a banker, come down and give you a bunch of hoopla, jump around the stage, throw a couple actors on there, a couple rappers on there, and we're all in higher conscious mode right now. We're not success coaching, that's higher consciousness. Connected conscious means that you have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, super high-pitched tone in your ear or face, and you are being spoken to on multiple levels 24 hours a day. That's a completely different ballgame than having a higher consciousness. You see what I mean?
Can I ask you what the different pitches mean to you? Because I don't get these. I get the tinnitus thing I get, I get that, but this will be an obvious, loud, almost pressure change, and then a loud hum. Mary has the funniest shit she says. She's like, oh, the angels are speaking to me again. And I go, what are they saying? And she goes, really loud, because it's like, what the fuck are you saying, right? So my question is that angels talking to us, if that's what I'm sensing? And do the ears and the pitch mean something different to you? Meaning left or right ear? Is that a, please explain that.
Okay, so that's good. So the tinnitus issue can be in one ear or the other. That's kind of how they deem that. Sometimes it can be a ringing in the ears, but it's actually an issue with like the cochlea.
I've got both, and so I know the difference. Okay. That's why I can explain it differently. Like when I lay down at night in dead silence, that's tinnitus. And that can be these Gwen Towers and shit, and that's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it couldn't be years of rock and roll music at loud volumes and shit and concerts and stuff, right? But also there's that specific, I'll just be walking along, dude. And then I'm like, what the fuck? And then I'm usually just curious after, though. I don't get an insight or anything like that. Go ahead, please.
Right. And so that happened to me in the very beginning when the process started with me. And the moment that I kind of accepted it, it grew. I didn't know of the pitch. At the very beginning, it was purely vocal tones, vocal words, that kind of situation going on. Roughly about, I want to say my second year into the experience, I started noticing the pitch, and I would only notice it during super early, anywhere from 1 to 3 a.m. always. And a lot of times, roughly around that, I want to say 9 o'clock-ish to maybe 11, 12-ish, maybe 9 to 10, or even to go 8 to 10. But it's like the moments when you're getting ready to go down and later go to bed. So somewhere in between 8 and 10 most of the time for people. Definitely that 1 to 3 p.m. situation is for sure. And if you're walking and it happens, that kind of thing, what I would like to say is just, I think people are, they're trying to make these connections, right? But people have not trained their minds to operate in that connection. So for me, I don't hear just the I hear conversation.
Shut up.
Every single tone that I hear, if a truck passes by and throws wind, I hear voices.
What?
So let's say if you put one person in front of me that always speaks, always stays in front of me. I have, let's say, another or two that are always on the sides. A lot of times, since I understand it to be more dimensional now, because once this experience starts, I guess your mind transforms to be able to transform sound into images, like sonar underwater.
Yeah.
Which is the real reason why I try to express to people that the air in front of us, even though it looks clear, I get it. And even though old school science and this weird domestication protocol that they put in there never told us about this, but the air itself is very, very dense, very, very compact. That's why we're able to have these conversations, you know what I mean? And so what I believe is that higher beings utilize different frequencies. For an unknowing person, that frequency sounds like a boo. Or sometimes you could just be sitting down and you think that you are, you know, maybe hearing something familiar. Like sometimes there are familiar tones, but that's not the case. What I learned to do is, and to hone that in better, is something that I talk about in my new book. And what it is a creative visualization role play within the imagination. I've, a lot of people don't know this, but I've got almost close to 30 years of formal Tibetan Mahayana Buddhism cultivation, knowledge, insight, and everything. So what I've learned in Buddhist practice and meditation is that the initial thing that we want to learn is to stop the mind from rambling. And when you can stop the mind from rambling, that's what they call, that's what the code is. That's the programming that you have inside of your brain that keeps running in a loop. So it'll remind you to go eat. It'll remind you that this is your favorite drink. It'll remind you to go here. It'll remind you, it'll remind you, it'll remind you, it'll remind you. So when you sit in meditation, the object is to learn how to become the observer. So most people just tell you, sit down, quiet the mind, take a few breaths, still the mind. And so you have to say, what does still the mind mean? What do you mean still the mind? What do you mean quiet the mind? If my mind's not speaking, then what do we mean quiet? So the object or objective is to become the observer. That's what meditation is really about. It doesn't matter who you study it from. The real objective is to stop everything that you're doing. Tell yourself that you don't need to do anything. Tell yourself that everything is taken care of. Tell yourself that you're not going to move your body until this is done, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. And tell yourself that you're going to start working on slowing your thoughts down. So there's a lot of techniques for slowing the mind down from thinking. And one that I share is walking to the entrance of a cave. So I want to sit in straight meditation. If you're not laying down straight, you're in a formal meditative pose, because posture means a lot. The correct posture means a lot because it's energy that's flowing through your body that you're moving and connecting with. And so once you're in that position, visualize yourself, legitimately visualize yourself and like see yourself, your physical body, and don't stop until you see your physical body. Good trick here. Don't stop until you see your physical body.
Sort of and like then, your own hands and arms, or like you're behind you like a video game player?
So a lot of times, most people always see themselves in front because of the dream state. The dream state is a rear elevated position. So this is the person, you are seeing yourself in the dream state from a rear elevated position at all times.
As like you a video around. Game. Like you'd like run Lara Croft around in Tomb Raider or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. There's another one of those brain material situations. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and you can understand now why we're so entranced with that activity of watching people on a screen moving around, and we're trying to operate. It's literally just playing a dream, but it's a video game. But in reality, it's just a dream. Because in your dreams, some people don't have control. So it's like this humongous thing, and it's all this stress and friction going on in there. Sometimes they're very pleasant. But it's still like you're kind of just, you're watching the operator move around, you know, until you have a thought within your dream. That's the only time that a dream becomes interrupted. And so, but that takes a little while of inward meditative practice. And so to clear the mind, I'll get just clear that up really quick. When you walk into the tunnel and you make sure you see yourself, because that is beyond important, and I'll tell you why afterwards. Make sure you see yourself walking into the tunnel or walking into the cave or descending down a manhole into a completely dark tunnel. And the reason why you want to visualize solid blackness. So even when you meditate, try it at nighttime, it will go to an even darker place. So that way it puts an even darker shadow over your eyelids. And when you walk in there, try to hold the darkness. Now, at this point, you are mentally trying to keep the place dark while you stand in it and stay comfortable, but you need it to stay dark. And the reason why is because when a thought intrudes your visualization, it will light up the darkness. And you can literally see your dark cave go from black to some pictured out format of you thinking about going to Wendy's or something like that. You need to go get the dog from the doctor's or something, you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be meditating. And that's the practice. That is the practice of clearing the mind. You go through this cycle over and over and over and over and over again until you can keep that tunnel dark. The moment you can keep that tunnel dark for long periods of time is the moment where you can move to the next phase. And the next phase is creative or visualization or creative visualization role play. And at this point, what you're doing is you are now designing your entire world. In the Bible, they call it the kingdom. In the book of Thomas, Jesus describes how you can enter the kingdom. And he simply says, close your eyes, visualize your hand. Visualize your foot, visualize yourself. You are now in the kingdom. Simple. And so once that part is accomplished, you are now capable of introducing new things into your life. You are now capable of asking Albert Einstein questions about physics. You're capable of talking with Nikola Tesla in regards to his spirit machine and what everyone just really thought was a Tesla coil zapping off electricity into the ether. No. He was testing ultrasonic sound, transdimensional communication. Lightning is just super fast. And so that's what got us into the study of the speed of light. Once they realized they can attach sound to light, now we have what we call global communication or the 5G networks. And that's merely man attaching sound to light. That's what they call fiber optics. You see what I mean? Fiber
Which
optics.
Allegedly we got at Roswell, by the way. I don't know.
We did. Yeah. And Roswell, yeah, Roswell, was, yeah, Roswell is a trip to me. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm at 2 points with the human evolutionary period and where we're going right now. One is that the Roswell incident was semi our own. Two, at the time they were in production of trying to figure out how to operate these machines mentally. Man at that time in the 1960s did not have the mental capability to operate a machine via the mind. And the other reason why I can give you a quick tidbit on that is just think of Flight of the Navigator. If you go back and watch that old school movie, Flight of the Navigator, you will think that it legitimately is telling you everything that's about to happen in 2024.
That's a great movie. Good pull.
Yeah. So, but that's really what's happening right now. Our world is seeing the actual split between groups of people, scientific people and spiritual people. The awakening process is happening by choice and by selective people, but I also understand it to be for everyone. So there's not someone who can't have this experience. And that was really the real reason why I wrote the book. Like my first book, The Power of Belief, was me going, I was in shock. I was like, this is God's divine energy going on here. God's divine, it's everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. You can just tap into this source and he's gonna send it into you. You know, I was in shock. Well, 2 years into this experience with nonstop communication, nonstop question asking, nonstop researching, I ended up writing this book now talking about this is more of a lineage of people who had this gift starting all the way in, you know, into the ages of the Atlanteans, definitely led on into the people of Kim, which was pre-Egyptian. From the Egyptians, like I said, I can track this thing all the way into Mesopotamia through the Library of Alexandria. From the Library of Alexandria, I can trace it all the way to Greek, not just because of Hermes, but because of the teachings that they taught and also the pantheon that they kept. And then for whatever reason, after the Greek-Roman situation happened, we got a separation. And here's some fascinating stuff. I'll tell you why we got the separation. Seriously. We all know that in ancient times, there was technology, flat out. So if we could at least get that one point broadcasted to everyone, and just let's get that out in the open and stop disbelieving, like, oh, this didn't happen. In the ancient times, there was technology. There was spacecraft, everything. It's written, it's documented, right? It wasn't until right before the Crusades and right after the major wars in Mesopotamia that they decided to start going to look for it, because someone finally was able to transcribe the text. And they did that from the Akkadian Empire leading into the Greek Empire. And they were like, oh, okay, there's, what do you mean? There's a spacecraft here. So they started going down and getting all this information back out. They realized that there was technology involved. They also realized that there was psychology involved in order to operate the technology. And so at that point, that's where the whole sciences of this connection came in, because in those days, there were no distractions. The mind was so free, empty, and blank. The only thing you had to worry about was surviving, not getting killed in the middle of the night because there were no lights, and trying to learn how to make this thing happen. And even in the time of the Atlanteans, they were fighting the exact same thing, which is crazy because they wrote about it. They wrote about the separation of the material world from the spiritual world. And they wrote how the material world is going to either dominate this whole thing and people are just going to lose this connection over a period of time. And that's why they left everything behind, because they wanted people to make sure that they can come back. And when their time comes, that we're going to be able to commune. You see what I mean? And so in our modern day, in 2024, information is so crazy, bro. Like, we get out of this podcast, man, I guarantee you, you're going to pick up something and read something, or you're going to see something, or you're going to hear something. It's inevitable. Even if you said you're going to quit for a minute, you might just walk out into the yard, get some deep breaths and everything else, and you're like, ah. It's like the greatest comfort is to be in that silence. But some people can't handle that. And that's what we're fighting. We're fighting this thing that they understood with the technology. When the Romans were like, look, we need to do the Crusades, ladies and gentlemen. We need to find out what's down there. We need to get all this stuff. Let's gather it all up and let's discern it. You know, let's figure out if we can utilize this to help people, or is this, you know, dangerous, you know? And at that point, they realized technology. The Ottoman Empire was already creating mechanical devices that could walk, move, transform, and all kinds of things in that day and age. And so when they realized that the technology was tied into this celestial thing, that's where the cut came. And then they were like, okay, we can run psychology. I mean, and we can run technology, but we have to hide one of the two. And so psychology became the religions. And as we know now, technology is obviously has not been revealed to us in truth, but it is being trickled out to us as we go along.
That's wow. Pretty good. It is. It goes so much along with something I was just ranting to Mary about in the garden the other day. We're going to do it in the afterthought. I've already got it noted here to talk to you about duality and what I really think that means. I don't think it's necessarily restricted to this plane. I think there is a duality in play, but I do think this is a as above, so below, but it's yeah. Interesting, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to get on the whiteboard and we'll draw and stuff like that. It'll all be right. Fun.
I'll just tell you right now, you are absolutely correct. That it, even in the higher realms, think about it, brother. Even in heaven itself, it's written in the Bible. I mean, I just use that just because 85% can understand it. But at the end of the day, they had a war there. They had deceit there. So positive and negative exists everywhere, in every realm and in every dimension. So that's what we have to get over here. And we're scared of it for whatever reason.
We were scared of it, and I don't disagree with you. And I think that it's interesting. I've got a whole thing. I'll tell you about it because it's crazy. It's just crazy. Of course, you're on today, right? And you and I have known each other for a long time. We, you know, got to hang out in Colorado when I went up there for Chris's wedding.
Oh man, loved it.
That was so cool. Shout out. Just so fascinating, dude. So we have a few here before we get to the afterthought. I also just wanted to talk to you about your extraterrestrial celestial connections and make sure that we got this in this part of the conversation. So do you want to talk to us about how that started? We have already briefly touched on that you're able to discern actual words in that coded right. language, which I'm looking forward to the implementation of the practice now that you've explained it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more mindful, especially of noting time and date and where I'm at. Usually it's out in the garden, honestly, when I'm walking, doing my labyrinth thing.
Outside and by yourself typically is this the best moments. Anytime you're interior, you have multiple. So it's kind of hard for you to discern whichever one is like your operator, let's just say.
What makes sense too, if it's riding on any sound frequency, they would carry messages through the, I mean, it's fascinating to think about, because then it's just simply tuning to the correct frequency, or it's getting sort of an amplifier to where if you are on that frequency, you get the subcarrier wave that's within
correct.
It. That it's transmitted, but you have to, again, have a certain frequency level to even be to even get it. And it's sort of a radio you have to construct yourself through a tedious process of thought and knowledge and all of this to get all the skills acquired to be able to detect it. I think its presence, sort of like missing time, perhaps in the abduction phenomena or whatever, is sort of a hint that there's something greater if you want, you know, to pull on the thread. You know, people who have some time just freak out and don't want to know any about it. It kind of stops or whatever. But this, it's like, hey, if you want to pull on the thread, dude, I'm here. It's fascinating. So how's this work for you?
Okay, so I see it on multiple levels. You've got your guitar there, so I know you like playing guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Now, imagine if you were in a room right now, we've got 30 other people in the room with you. They've got trombones, you know, drums and all kinds of stuff. They're all playing, and you're trying to tune your guitar, right? Be pretty difficult because you can't hear your own sound, right? So what do you have to do? You have to separate yourself. You have to go to another place where you can tune this thing just right. But what did you do? You separated yourself from all of the other frequencies around you in order for you to tune in to the right frequency. So when we're talking about getting to this connected consciousness or having a higher consciousness, it has nothing to do with grabbing on more things, has everything to do with letting go of everything mentally. And I like to use it as there are certain things that we do that pull our minds in directions. Eating is a big one. Some of our just, you know, daily habits, drinking and stuff like that. Those are the regulars, right? But there are things that we like doing that we don't share with everybody, but that's always in our minds all the time. And sometimes they're very, you know, they're scared. Some people don't ever share these things with people until like it's too late or something, you know. But at the end of the day, these frequencies and the information that comes in is from, it's guidance at all times. The hardest part about it is that it's so damn nice, you get upset with it. That's what kills me the most.
It's so nice you get upset with it. So the thing it's saying or the thing it's, please explain.
Okay, so if I had a 4-year-old toddler, it's my child, 4-year-old kid, I love my kid. My kid says, I love you, Nigel. I love you, Nigel. I love you, Nigel. I remember I said that. I'd be cool with that for a little while. After about 2 hours, I'd probably be like, okay, it's time for you to go somewhere. After about 5 hours, I'd be like, okay, it's time for you to go somewhere. And what I found is that they want to get us to a state of mind where we are mentally always positive. And that's very, very hard. You know, when you think of, I mean, I'm 48, and I got, you know, I'd like to do certain things. That's all there is to it. You know, I smoke weed every now and then. And, hey, I need to calm down, right? But, you know, and then I'm like, am I screwing myself up? You know, and I think about it. But at the end of the day, this, it goes far beyond all of that. And so what got me into this experience initially was one of those situations that I think I talked to you about. My instance was more of a save my life teleportation. And I came into everything. So the teleportation was a car accident. So we went from one spot to another. We lost anywhere from 2 to 3 hours of time. That's kind of hard between the person, because I do have a witness. And just recently gotten back in contact with, just so crazy. She ended up in Colorado.
Yeah.
She's like, Colorado Springs. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And you know, she's still going through it, but that experience has traumatized her so badly. It's crazy to hear her talk about it, you know? And I'm like, man, it's that serious. And it still took me 3 years after that accident to catch on to what was going on. And the reason why is because I wasn't prepared. I knew all this stuff. I'd studied Buddhism. I studied mental alchemies. I've studied all kinds of things, but I just was not prepared mentally to accept what was going on the interior of my brain. And the creative visual role play is what helped me unlock that aspect, because it started off, so let's say, for instance, I in this process, I do the same process everyone always talks about, because it is legit. The 369 process, it is legit if you truly do it. The affirmation process is legit if you truly do it. The
Isn't process any I process have, truly legit if you truly do it?
Exactly, right? So let's get it out there. Let's get it out there. Let's get it out there. That's what, I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. So it's like, here's the problem that we have is that over time, we either give up on it or we don't go far enough. And so what I have found in all of these processes is that they don't tell you everything, right? They always give you a little bit, write this stuff down a gazillion times and just get up in the morning and try it or this and that. Okay. Let's take all of that out. So what we do is we meditate. We grab characters. And this right here, this part will be determined on your character. So each individual person's character. What kind of person would you like to invite into your life? If you could talk to somebody, who would you talk to?
It literally is highest me. It's me that has made the steps that I know that I'm taking now and what that looks like on the other side.
No problem. I'll tell you why that part is already taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. Because the moment you visualize yourself as the highest part, you already are. All you have to do is look around the room. Become the observer of you being the highest person that you are and see what you're doing. Look at the clothes you're wearing. What environment is? Are you in a house? Are you in a mansion? Are you out on the farm? Are you walking along a fence post? And from that, you pick up information and tidbits of the character and the person that you can incorporate as soon as you come out of that meditation. So you're always talking to your higher self anytime you go into meditation and you place yourself into that position. There is a difficulty, though, because we can say this now. You and I, we've trained our brains. There's a lot of people who have not. There's people who are going to probably see this and say, okay, well, you know, I've got problems, you know, my life's screwed up. I don't have any money and I'm always worried. I'm always struggling. I'm always doing this. I'm always doing that. And so the hardest challenge for them is going to be removing the negative character that they see of themselves inside their mind's eye and implementing the new character. And that's really, like I said, after my experience, after the accident and everything else happened, it took me 3 years. And it wasn't until I was doing that exact process, because I was still such a negative man, I was like, this can no longer happen, you know? Like, and I fought my own brain in meditation, because every time I close my eyes and try to visualize myself, I'm like some drug dealer running through alleys or something, you know? Like, oh, this is not who I want to be anymore. You know, this cannot possibly be who I am. So you start the process of writing down your thoughts of like, okay, what am I going to do in life? And when we do these processes, a lot of times the reason why they don't work is because you're asking for the same thing everybody else already has. You know, I can easily manifest a house. I can manifest moving. I can manifest. That's nothing. But manifesting, changing your life when you're homeless and you're underneath a bridge and you're addicted to drugs, that is what the miracle of these processes is about. And that's where the process starts of seeing yourself there, writing it down, and then the activity afterwards to correlate. And what happens with the connection, since you have an operator who is always with you, just consider it just like the Matrix. You have an operator who is always with you. And this operator is so damn nice, so damn giving, so everything, that it's hard for you to live up to that standard. And so you fold. You get upset at yourself and you go the opposite direction. Skip this. I can't do this. I don't even know. I spent 5 months trying to be an author in the first place. I've never even gone to college. how can I compete with books that are all written by doctors versus some guy who's just like, hey, I transformed this whole situation for you, right? And that's what we face as a human being, as an individual person. We face this the bipolarness, the negative side of who we are versus the positive side. So you have to say to yourself, okay, what do I really want? And not what I want next month, not what I want in a couple of years. What can I do for the rest of my life? That's what big thinkers ask. That's when big ideas come. That's when great inventions pop out, because they create something that lasts indefinitely, you know? And that's what it's about. The guidance and the connection of the guidance comes when you have unlocked your mind to be able to hear it verbally. And I know that sounds strange, but if you place in your imagination someone that you really like, a great, you know, great actor, great movie character, something like that, but just whatever favorite person you have, I guarantee you can see that person inside your mind and you can hear their voice inside your mind and they're acting on their own. And so when I started this process, I've done it for so long, my mind switched over and I woke up out of meditation thinking, hold on a minute. I literally just had Einstein, Tesla, and I like Niels Bohr. I love those guys just for whatever reason, man. Niels Bohr and, oh my goodness, Wernher von Braun in a meeting, literally. And I'll tell you, I had these guys in a meeting and I asked all of them specific questions. And I waited and I did the process again. And I did the process again. I did the process again. And then one day I woke up in meditation and I was like, hold on a minute. I was literally asking these guys questions. They were literally responding to me. I've never seen any of them in person. I couldn't possibly know how they act. And I just became super fascinated with how my brain transformed these characters, gave them mannerisms, gave them activity, made them act all crazy and do things, but they gave me information that I then transcribed into this book. My celestial contact, that came about after I made this agreement. And I noticed in meditation, I was doing my little mantra. I'm a multi-million-dollar global best-selling author. I'm the owner of a nonprofit that helps at-risk youth and adults seek and realize their potential through the power of belief. I am a billion-dollar owner of a CBD company. Simple, right? But I've said that so many times, I don't need to say the words. I listen to the humming of the words, like, and just go on. And I just made this little chant out of it, right? So chant is a good word to use too. I made a chant out of it. And so mentally I'm hearing while in meditation, I'm just hearing this chant go on, you know, and I'm like, okay, this is me, you know, let it go, let it go. And then I notice while this thing is chanting, I'm hearing this sound and tone and my chanting go on. I hear, do you want to have the answers? Do you want to know the answers to your questions? And at that point I was like, well, yeah, I want to know the answers to my question, you know? And my imagination completely snapped. I felt and started seeing like I was moving forward or moving upward. I saw doors, massive doors, huge doors. And I saw the doors open. And when I walked inside, I saw a congregation of people. I saw two people at the head and they had one very, very large, massive something that did not look that pleasant on one side of it, like a guardian or something weird, you know? And I remember in my imagination, you know, bowing down and bowing all the way down to my forehead. And they asked me three questions and I responded to those three questions. And then they told me the answer to my question. And ever since then, the voice and all of the contact has stayed permanent. It was no longer a touch and go, kind of like when you go outside and it makes that little connection with you and you're just kind of like, you know, and you want to hear it. And then it took roughly about 5 months after the verbal side of the connection for me to hear it in everything. So at nighttime, it's 24 hours. It's nonstop. It would be like having AI on that knows your mind and knows your pre-thought because they work on intent. They don't work on our current thoughts. They work on the intent of your thought. And so the conversations are always valid. And at that point, I started getting better at it. So now I have like a council of situations going on where I know that there's multiple people, but it's been told to me that it's two separate dimensions. So the fourth dimension is the dimension that we will probably run ourselves into after this situation, and everything there is in front of us. It's not like you got to go anywhere, literally. And I've been able to experience that a lot, pretty much every day, all day, sometimes. And the fifth dimension is kind of interesting because it purely operates off of energy, and it oversees the fourth and the third. I have not asked any questions past that, because even just trying to understand the fifth and the fourth dimensions are hard enough. As far as like, how can we use that in our daily lives? You know, like what is this about? So to make it more legitimate, let's say if you follow your creed, your spiritual creed, your spiritual creed tells you that there are spirits, angels, or overseers, or whatever the case may be, talks about them all day long, tells you that they brought this, they hold the winds back, they help man do this, they help do that, help do this, help do that. My thing is this: if that happened then, what makes you think it's not happening now? Flat out. The only reason why we believe it's not happening now is because we spend too much time on the outside of it. We spend too much time worrying about the material world instead of the interior world. And so in all philosophies, they all teach you to work on the interior world, because the interior world is where everything happens. But it's not until you physically step into your imagination and see yourself, that is the only time that you can utilize the tools there and the people there and the instances there to manipulate everything that you have in your current world. And that's, it's, I know it sounds crazy, but that's the easiest way to kind of put it out there.
It sounds what we're ready to hear right now. I mean, it's fascinating. And what's great to this next step of this is because it is manifestation at a level. I'm not a fan of that word, because it's sort of like religion to me. It got attached to an entire idea that in my mind, I don't feel was presented authentically. So therefore, right, there's a little separation from it. But that's what you're talking about here. It's new levels of understanding on the old concepts that we felt either didn't work for us, but perhaps this is why, right? You know, maybe it was a little bit of a training course. You now have your radio so you can pick up that subcarrier wave that you've created. Now you see the true path to freedom with this, where you can say, okay, if I just alchemize in this way, that's what it means to align to the thing. And then, of course, it must show up because you're just creating from that space. But these nuanced new views of this concept and these older concepts that we're bringing back to refine is where I find the most value, and that's where I'm at right now with all of this. It's refinement with this. Steve Falconer mentioned something on the show the other day, and I just kind of wanted to bring this up in conjunction with what you're talking about here. Matthew 9:4. Do you want me to put you on the spot and see if you know what that means?
Matthew 9:4? No.
Okay. It's basically, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? And the idea goes is that, you know, you may be bombarded with thoughts and stuff like this, but you're the one that's got to take them on. You know, people may be offering you guilt, but you've got to take it on and wear it. You know, you got to grab the coat from them and put it on and suffer within it. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to entertain these shit thoughts. And this is what you mean by, this is what you've been talking about, rather, about really making sure that your mental mindset is where it needs to be for you to actually produce the way you want. This place is easy to program you. And it's fascinating also what you said about when the program shuts down and that stillness, it feels like a barrier. It feels like an initiation, but it also feels sort of like an autopilot program, training program that's here installed amongst the realm. We all get it. But your job is to figure out how to turn the autopilot switch off. But you've got to prove to that vehicle, this whatever operating system, that you can drive this thing and you can be autonomous and you can be sovereign. And then you're going to be trained within that, you know, and that's what the triggers are about, your opportunities at loops. Are you able to assess what's occurring with you and respond in the correct way to change, not be caught up in the loop, to take the off ramps rather than continue this cycle, right? And it's, again, just so fascinating when we get into the mental temple part of this. And so I brought up Matthew 9:4, entertain no evil in your heart.
Right.
Like, just don't even take it on. You don't have to.
Right. And so when they say the mental temple, that's, they use two words at the same time. So in Bibles older than that reading, I'm going to just tell you why.
That's what I called it. I just call it the mental temple. I think it's phonetically more fun. And my thought ninjas.
So in older Bibles, they actually use the word prophecy. So it's actually stated that you can God gave you the ability to prophesy. But if you prophesy within the mind, it can be.
Yeah,
you should do it.
Using that.
It also, right. It also says, do not blaspheme. Don't blaspheme your mind, which means don't go against what you put into your imagination as good for you. Don't say it can't be done, because then at that point you are now committing blasphemy against the Most High who gave you the idea.
Yeah.
And so the problem, again, the problem is that we are all in different phases. We are all separated by domestication and the protocols there, whether it be religious doctrines from you're a Catholic and I'm a Baptist, or all this crap they put in there, and all this separation of things just to make you think that you're not capable of having this connection. That is the biggest key. And that's what I put in my book as, if you can prove this thing to yourself as a truth, then at that point, there's nothing that anyone else can say. And that goes along the lines of everything that comes from the Buddhist teachings, the Hindu teachings, Christian teachings. It's just simply that you should not go against anything that you place within your imagination in a positive manner, because those things can manifest. We just want it instantaneously, because in 2024, I use my cell phone, boom, order food's there, boom. I don't even need to prepare a meal. I don't have to spend an entire day going out slaughtering an animal just to feed somebody. You see what I mean? That's not my job anymore. Back at, you know, in ancient times, that was people's jobs. That was their whole day spent just slaughtering an animal, so 2 days later they can finally have something to eat. You know, so they are the same things and the same rules apply. They utilize their minds and their imaginations to say, okay, so how can I make this process easier? And how can I make this process less hassle-free? All these things come about. I mean, even the weapon comes about because of that. We didn't get knives and all that stuff to go out and kill each other. We got that so that we can hunt and things of that nature much faster and make our lives easier. But if I entertain a negative thought because you have more gold than I do, then I get upset. I come and I use my weapon against you. Now we find out that this thing is a weapon. If I get six guys with me and we all have this, then that means I can take over your village. I get everything. And so the problem that we run into is the greed factor, the information factor, and the factor that, okay, there is something that's about to hit the earth, whether people want to call it celestial, they want to call it extraterrestrial, they want to call it spirit, so you can call it whatever you like. But the fact remains, within the next 5 years, there's going to be more people having mental communication than there are right now. And even today, there's a lot of people who are. They just don't want to say it. I could give you popular names of people that have all stated it, but they don't speak it anymore in public. They've said it a couple times, but after that, it's dead and gone because fear of ridicule, fear of their careers going down, fear of people not sponsoring them and stuff like that. And that's a big issue that we have in this realm of trying to get this information out to people, is the fear of being ridiculed and the fear of saying what's the truth, your truth, and putting it out there for people to explore it, you know. And so that's what I said at the beginning, you know, my truth is just very strange. If I try to say it differently, I couldn't. I couldn't make it up. I don't even know if I could make up a better story than that. You know, how do you make up a better story than being teleported out of a car accident that saves your life? 3 years later, you're sitting on the floor in meditation. You hear an interior voice that sounds so familiar to you. You instantly recall your entire life. Like, my entire life flashed before my eyes, and I remember every single time this voice was a part of it.
Wow.
And I accepted it, and I was like, yeah. And then it was like, oh, you want to know the answer to your question? I was like, well, yeah, of course I do. Because, you know, my life is over right now. I'm 38, you know, 40-some years old. I'm about to go through some crap right now. And I need to find out if this is the truth. And another way that a lot of people are experiencing this right now is through the psychotropics. And I can't say a fan of the psychotropic situation, only because it gives you exactly the experience that you're having. When you walk outside, you get that cleared and it comes on in. But a few minutes later, gone. And if you didn't grab that experience, or what I call true mental exploratory value, then you lose everything. And you are propagating a lollygagging, like you're park skipping through the cosmos, or whatever story. That's not what these experiences are for. And if you go into the experience more mentally trained, with an objective, with a purpose, which is what they teach you to do, is why some people actually go to monasteries and monks to take these psychotropics, because they are trained to do so. They are trained to take you into that dimension and show you what's there and how you can operate. So they give you these experiences when you take these psychotropics, and those psychotropics don't just include mushrooms and LSD or the DMT situation. They also include hard narcotics such as cocaine and methamphetamine, which is very interesting. And the reason being there, yeah. Well, I found this out because that's some just crazy information that came to me once. The brain vibrates. The brain itself vibrates inside of your skull. It is not attached to the bone or the marrow. There's a gap in between. And the brain itself vibrates. And if you can get this thing to vibrate at a higher pitch, you can so-called catch on to higher information, right? So I caffeinated myself the first few times I caught on to it. Not like I was taking raw spoonfuls of Folgers.
Wow. Going out. Freemason Folgers? Good Lord.
I was trying, brother. I was trying to get that connection, you know? I was having these touch-and-go experiences, you know, like a lot of people have. They have this touch-and-go experience. But it's so fascinating and it's so vivid that you kind of want to get there again, right? Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get there again because I heard the connection, I heard the voice, and I was like, man, I can't possibly be crazy because I'm sitting in a room with guys and there's nowhere else for me to really pull this thing out of it. I'm not losing my shit, you know? So I accepted. And it took 3 weeks after me hearing it and accepting it for it to come back. But within that 3 week period of time, I was training myself to pick up on interior vocal tones by visual creative role play. So later on, when the experience happened to me and I heard that tone, my mind was already tuned to listen to interior vocal messages. When I was in meditation, it snapped. And at that point, it's never left. And here we are, and I'm talking about ultrasonic transdimensional communication from some guy who hadn't even been to MIT, for crying out loud.
God, you don't need it. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful we've all given up on those pieces of paper, because I see them as a limitation. I'd say you memorize something in a box, and you were taught not to think outside of that box, and you did the shit right out of what they told you. That's not
And if you didn't do it, your whole life goes downhill. Yeah. If you fall outside of that, you find yourself wrapped up in the system. You're now an outcast. Then your credibility goes, your mental status goes, because now you got to fight society. Like, I have to fight society, which is so crazy to me. I was like, okay, I get it. I was bad back in the day, you know. I had some problems, you know. But if I am always judged by my past, then I could never have a future.
But don't you think by not judging your past yourself anymore, it also will stop following you around?
Exactly. But that's the hardest trick. That's the hardest trick. The hardest trick is trying to tell that to yourself and not let that be an exterior reason why you're doing it to yourself.
Right. Simple, not easy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Simple. Yeah.
Fucking.
You know, it's like, you know, listening to your mom. Your mom just calling you a piece of crap all the time, and you just it's your mom. And then you go outside, and you're just gonna have that. But the day you sit down underneath that tree and you say, you know what, I am not a piece of crap. I know I'm better than this. And you look up and you say all these things and you're like, I'm going to change. Guess what happens? You get an epiphany. Now, what happens after the epiphany only depends if you're strong enough to go back in the house and listen to your mother tell you that you're a piece of crap. Do you believe in the exterior or do you believe in the interior? That's what we fight. That's the hardest battle in transformative processes, is listening to the things that you have on the inside to such a degree that anything external, I mean, if it doesn't kill you, it's really not what you should be doing. Anything external does not matter or make sense. That's why the Dalai Lama, that's why the Buddha, that's why Jesus, that's why all these great prophets and stuff like that did not have an exterior problem. They were chastised because of that. Oh, you're not going to get upset because I told you you should be this and you should be that. No, I'm not going to worry about that. Today's it's Sunday. It's the Sabbath. Well, are you hungry? Then you should eat. You see what I mean? It doesn't matter what day it is. You're hungry right now, right? Hungry is what's going to keep you positive. Hungry is going to make you move forward. And now here we are. And so it's just harder to listen to yourself at this point of the game. If you're someone who's 35 and already craps, so much negative crap has happened, you have to remove it first. That's what the process, that's what the sacred process is all about. Thought the Atlantean, even almost word for word, says it. You know, when the thought arises to you, if it doesn't come from your heart, meaning if it didn't come from you, then you should work to remove it by introducing a vibration or putting such a vibration through your body and everything else. And that the first day you do it, it's going to feel, it's going to be uncommon. So it's kind of like, let's say, stop smoking cigarettes. Tomorrow, I'm going to flip out. Oh, I got to do this, you know? So the first day is going to be uncommon. The second day is going to just be the fight. The second day is already, because everything's already over with. The decision's over with. The point's over with. The second time, it's just the fight, just the memory. But if I continue that process, to continue that vibration and continue that way of thinking, it is removed. And so they found that that one piece in the Emerald Tablets was transcribed. I'm still working on how many times it's been transcribed through history right now into the new processes. Because in the new processes, they just tell you, write it down, think it a bunch of times, act as if. So if you want to stop something, you want to stop something or start something, you use that process.
Right.
And it works every time.
Damn, dude. Okay. Absolutely fascinating. It is at this point, I've got one more question for you. We're going to go into our afterthought here. A lot of stuff to talk about in that, but thank you so much for this, dude. Absolutely outstanding. Your book, Pathway to the Infinite, which is book two in the Mind's Eye series there. Immortal Metaphysical Memoir for Triumph. I wrote that really small, so I'm proud I could read that far away. That was my memoir of Triumph.
Mental Metaphysical Memoir for Triumph.
Down in the show notes, guys.
Pathway to the Infinite, ladies and gentlemen. Pathway to the Infinite.
Look how pretty, too. I love it. Is Nefertiti's tomb?
Oh, man. I want to say it is.
Oh, no, it's not, but it's the bust of Nefertiti. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, we're going to talk about
entrance.
It.
It's the entrance where they said it was melted down and all that other stuff, too, in the front.
But the bust of Nefertiti, the actual statue of her, mirrors that exact thing. Have you seen this?
Am I
going to be able to reveal this to you?
You're going to be able to reveal that to me.
Okay, well, we're going to do it in the afterthought, guys. Link down below is all the ways to find him, as well as our insider hangout, which if you want to join us for that and said advertised afterthought here, then please join the link below. It's the best way to support your favorite show here, so you might as well. Also, new journals down in the show description as well. I wanted to shout out Whitney Fox for the amazing cover art on that. Look at that bad boy. Mindful Expansion Volume 2. Yours is in the mail, Nigel. It's already on your way to you.
Thanks,
and
bro.
This
I
one is a fresh look at old familiar space here, and it's totally different, guys. It's awesome. I just started using mine. I got my final copy in for the first time yesterday and just sat down to use it elated. I'm so grateful for this thing. So link down below, guys. Check that out. Nigel, before we let you go, brother, what gets you out of bed every single morning and keeps you doing this shit show, dude?
The love of it and the amazement that this is real. Literally the amazement of the fact that, you know, I wake up every day hearing chatter from two separate places. You know, it's like I watch things in the atmosphere now completely different than most people. That's what gets me out of bed every day, man. It's just the love of doing it and wanting to have this experience grow to the next person and helping them to understand the bipolarness of it, because it is bipolar. Not to go crazy with it, but they operate just like we do. They have emotions just like we do. We get upset, they get upset, and their upsetness is different than ours because they use the mind to screw you off, you know? And so I kind of want to get into the fact that I believe that was the main reason why Neil Armstrong stated that what they found in Antarctica was pure evil. It's because they didn't understand how to operated within the mind. But once it started in their minds in the 1950s and 60s, yeah, they were having problems. Cut this thing off. I don't know what I'm doing here. This is evil. Oh my God. I wake up to this. What's that noise? You know what I mean? Don't ever release this. We're going to hide all of this stuff, you know? But what they did was they started utilizing the communication processes, and that's why we have cell phones. That's why we have the G networks. And if you, one of the biggest things ever hidden from people is the science behind communication. The true science behind communication, you know, and that's one thing that has been hidden from people. And what does that mean? If it's on the exterior, if we're doing this via cell phone on the exterior, then we can do this on the interior. And that's what I would like to bring to the world.
Last word, it cuts out all dramatic, the music stops and all that shit.
Oh my goodness.
No, it's good. It's good. It bangs. No, that's good. I give you applause. It's always, I don't have prep anymore.
Oh my god.
I just sort of,
I'm gonna see myself sort of all over yourself just flapping around.
And then go. It gives me headroom to cut. That's all it is. But great job, man. Outstanding, dude. Okay, let's take about five and come back. Does that sound good?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, let's do it, man. Right. Outstanding, brother. Outstanding, dude. All right. I'll see you in a minute.
Okay, man.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.